Dear Mom, I think that you're awesome. And no matter how messy it gets, or how crazy I can be, you have always been there for me. I know this whole mom thing can be really tough sometimes. You must really worry about me. Just know that you're really making a difference. I think you're out of this world. You always know how to fix any problem. It doesn't matter if it's big or small. You teach me something new every day. Actually, it seems like you know everything. Sports, space, art, music, science. You really can do it all. You make the hardest job in the world look easy. And I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
The biggest obstacle in your life today could be one of the smallest words in the English language. So many times we blame everyone and everything else for our situation when the problem is this little two-letter word. What is that word? If. I'll give my life to Jesus if. Fill in the blank. How often this word stands in the way of our obedience to God.
I would share Jesus with people at my job if...
I'd start tithing if...
I would enter into the worship today if...
I'd spend more time with my kids
if... I would go on that missions trip
I'd start
if,
treating my wife better if...
God, I'll really start serving you if...
By adding if, we make excuses. We bargain with God. We set conditions for our obedience or try to shift the responsibility to others. The word if implies that God needs to do more to hold up his end of the bargain. He has already done what we need most.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
He didn't die for us based on if. He died for us because. Because he loved us with an unquenchable love. Let's not obey God if. Let's obey him because. Let's love God because. Today, let's enter into worship not based on if, but because. Let's lose the if. Because.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm in the fierce drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as died, the wrath of God was satisfied. On for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by dark slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Power of Christ, I'll stand.
Once we start walking with God, we will begin to be used by God. Jesus does not just want our focus and full attention so that we can have a happy life. God desires to use you and me to reach a world that is focused elsewhere. Here's the good news. We don't have to do it alone. God promises to walk this road with us to get his people back. In fact, Jesus even lays out a step-by-step guide for us to follow. We want to help you think about the people in your own lives and circles who do not know Christ. We are not meant to sit on the sidelines in their faith. Rather, God desires each one of us as his followers to have a role in reaching the world. So what will it take to reshape our perspective on mission? We need to feel the weight of many in our world today and in our communities that do not know Christ. And oh, how the weight of the world has changed. It is important to understand that the Holy Spirit promises to go with us in the process of reaching people. And once we feel that what God feels for his lost people, we will partner with him in reaching out. So what is God's mission? What is my role in that mission? How do we learn to focus on that more often? How do we make it a central part of our lives? Ken and I invite you today to gather in your sacred spaces, worship God the Father, and seek his face, and ask him what it is that he wants to reveal to you today through this Whitby Online church service. Let's pray together. Father, there are many in our world and even in the community around us that do not know you. Please use us to reach those around us for Christ. Lord, please get us out of our comfort zones so that you can use us as you wish. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Jesus said, "All power has been given to me, so go and make disciples of every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to keep all that I've commanded. And know this, I am with you always until the very end." As God sent Jesus, Jesus is now sending us. Today, we can be assured of His power. The authority given by God now working through us. Today, we can accept His commission to go telling others and making disciples. Today, we can believe in the promise of His presence, confident of His Holy Spirit with us as we share the good news until the very end.
Church, I'm so excited to be with you once again today as we close out this series all about our focus. We have hit on many different places of focus. And in preparation for this message, I felt like we should end this series talking about one of the most important facets of our faith and our focus. And yes, that's our mission. Believe it or not, pastors aren't the only ones called to reach the world with the message of Christ. God desires that we all play a part. Today, I want us to regain a new fire within us for reaching those that are lost, so that Christ can call them found. Our discussion on our mission has to start with God's mission. So what is God's mission? There are many different mentions of God's mission within the Bible, and one of the clearest references is in a book called Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, the Lord says these words, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And so we clearly see in this verse what God's mission is, that the entire earth, the whole world, would know about God's glory. How do we know what God's glory is like? By knowing God Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. So let's talk about how God intends to accomplish His mission. In Matthew 28, Jesus teaches His disciples exactly how to partner with God in His mission for the world. You've heard it many times. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus tells us three different things in particular guiding us as we focus on our call to reach the world. The first of which is where to go. There seems to be this popular misconception in the Christian world about mission. Luke recounts the words of Jesus in Acts 1 and 8 where Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and yes, to the ends of the earth." But as some of us know, this verse, Jesus shows us how important the principle is starting from within and working your way out. And so in essence, we have to be the people who understand the importance of God's mission right here, right now, starting with you and me. Think about a story in your life where you were able to see God's mission advanced in your own life. You see, the main obstacle in the way of God's mission happening is really our availability and our obedience to step out. And throughout this series, we've talked seriously about the choice we have to step out in faith. And for some of us, that looks like sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with one of our coworkers. For others, it looks like having that Jesus conversation with a relative or a family member that has been turned off to the gospel for a while. And whatever that step looks like for you, Jesus makes it clear. The mission field for us is not just overseas, as good as that is. It is right here in our own backyards, our living rooms, our places of work, the spaces where we find ourselves. God's desire is to use us as vessels to accomplish his purposes. The next part of Jesus' statement in Matthew 28, 19 to 20 is moving from where to go to what we are to say. So what do we say? What do we teach? Well, the call to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ involves not only the act of going to these people, but also teaching and baptizing them. Now, baptism is something that some churches practice after someone comes to faith in Christ. Some denominations practice infant baptism as well when a family wants to baptize their child as a baby. The Salvation Army believes in a baptism that is brought about by the fire of God's Holy Spirit. Either way, Jesus invites us to be baptized and then to go on from there sharing the good news of the gospel. Jesus spent much of his earthly ministry teaching the disciples and nearby crowds. For instance, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, Jesus teaches new commands to the people listening. Many of these commands were in reference to Old Testament law that many of the listeners would have been very familiar with as Jews. But Jesus did not intend for these teachings to stay with us. Instead, his desire is for us to read them, receive them, and widely share them. In my experience, people are a lot more receptive to anything you tell them if they first know you love them and that you're modeling Jesus' love. Much of what Jesus models in his ministry is this very thing. In John 13 and 34, Jesus gives that new commandment when he calls us to love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. So are you modeling this in your daily life? It is easy for someone in our family or a close friend in our groups to know we love them. But what about those who are further from us in proximity? What about those who do not interact, that you do not interact with much on a day-to-day basis? Jesus desires that before we teach, we show the love of Christ to all those around him. That is how God's mission will be accomplished through us, his people. But church, there is one more part of Jesus' statement in Matthew 28, 19 to 20 that can't be missed when we talk about focusing on our mission, and that is that Jesus promises to be with us. From the very beginning of God's time, and from the very beginning of time, God's intention was to be as close to his people as possible. And in Genesis 3, sin acted as that separating factor. But as the entire Gospel of Matthew comes to a close, Jesus makes the promise that he will always be with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, no matter where we go, what we do, whom God calls us to, he is with us. You see, the disciples who were Jesus' audience in that verse had many opportunities to witness to the power of the Holy Spirit in their own lives. They knew that Jesus was with them through this power. But I wonder how many times they still doubted. I wonder if we've been in situations where, just like Peter, as we mentioned when he walked on the water toward Jesus, where we just know there's someone who is sustaining us, but yet we still doubt. God's mission includes you and me, and he is with us at all times. Let's pray together. Dear God, we pray for your love and compassion to abound as we walk through these challenging days. We ask for wisdom for those who bear the load of making decisions with widespread consequences. We pray for those who are suffering with sickness and all who are caring for them. We ask for protection for the elderly and vulnerable to not succumb to the risk of the virus. We pray for misinformation to be curbed, that fear may take no hold in hearts and minds. As we exercise the good sense that you and your mercy provides, may we also approach each day in faith and peace, trusting in the truth of your goodness towards us. Help us to focus on what we have not, on what is removed or changed. Strengthen us when we feel discouraged or overwhelmed. Embrace us so that we know your loving presence within us and among us. Walk with us as we bring your love and carry your light to the communities in which we live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Throughout this series, Ken and I hope and pray you have been able to see the importance of your focus. And I realize that that's easier said than done amid the world in which we are living. And when we lose focus of the things that matter, we will slowly but surely start to walk away from Christ, just like Peter, who sank into the sea. But Christ desires that we stay in a constant growing relationship with him. So some things for you to unpack in your own personal journey this week. What is currently in the way from you growing in Christ? What is making you lose your focus? Who is God calling you to focus on today to advance his mission? We believe if we are to learn to focus on Christ, our rock and our redeemer, we will see transformation and renewal in our lives, and that will flow out to those around us. We encourage you to reach out to us this week. Maybe ask us about the all-encompassing love of God and how you can experience his love anew in your life today.
I surrender.